Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Lamentations chapter 3? I'll give you a little extra time to turn there. That's a book you don't turn to very often, Lamentations, but it's tucked in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It happens to be page 1262 in my Bible, but I doubt if that's going to help you at all. Lamentations chapter 3. Jeremiah is the author of Lamentations. These two verses that we're going to be looking at this morning, they're like a very beautiful light within a very dark context. This was written during a time, it was probably one of the darkest seasons of Jerusalem's history, Judah specifically, the southern kingdom of Israel. Now last week we talked about the constancy of God, and that means that God never changes. The Lord said, I am the Lord and I do not change. And what that means is that the character of God is fixed. The purposes of God are fixed. We can depend upon God. I do believe we have a tendency sometimes to adjust our perception of God depending upon the circumstances that we are going through. When we feel good about our circumstances, we think, well, you know, I'm all good with God and God is good with us. But then when things begin to fall apart, sometimes our perception of God is that God has failed us. This morning, we will see how God is unwavering in his love. He is unwavering in his compassion. He is unwavering in his mercy. He is unwavering in his faithfulness. And so we look at Lamentations chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The prophet Jeremiah was an eyewitness to this exceptionally low point in the history of the southern kingdom of Israel or Judah. Jerusalem was the capital. Jeremiah had been warning against the sin of the people and the need for repentance. For decades, he had warned. The people refused to repent from their sin, and finally God used Babylon, specifically King Nebuchadnezzar, as his instrument of judgment against the sins of Judah. The city of Jerusalem was completely ransacked. Solomon's temple that we talked about last week was utterly destroyed. Everyone who was not slaughtered was taken away captive, with the exception of the very poorest of those they allowed to remain. We read about that in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 14. Also, he carried away into captivity all Jerusalem, all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. Jeremiah was initially among those captives, but he was released and he was given this choice. He could either go on to Babylon or he could remain in the city of Jerusalem. Now he looked around and he understood how dire the situation was, and yet he chose to remain in Jerusalem. What Jeremiah witnessed is beyond our vilest imagination. It's Jeremiah saw the bodies of the dead lying in the streets. He saw the remains of the great temple of Solomon. It had been destroyed. But even worse than the murder and the destruction was the famine that ensued. We discover later in Lamentations that the famine was so severe that mothers were killing their children and they were using the children for food. Cannibalism was extreme. This is the background of this season of Judah's history. And it is during this time that Jeremiah said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. There's four statements. So we're going to look at these, and each tell us something that is crucial to our understanding of how God's nature does not change. The constancy of God, this is actually part two in the series. So first of all, this very first statement, number one, is that God's mercy spares us. Verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not what? We are not consumed. Do you know what that word means? The word consumed actually means it can be translated as being put to death. But in this passage, it's more like it's an execution. I must admit, and maybe you feel this way a little bit too, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but you know, you read the news in the world and you read about what's going on, and don't you sometimes you read something that is so bad, you just say, you know, God, judge him. God, put him to death. You know, God, it's time. Execute. Some of the crimes, some of the things that we see, they are so heinous that we just, you know, we can't wrap our imaginations around how low people can go, and we like, God, send your judgment. What we discover is that God is patient beyond measure. God's patience is far beyond my patience. His patience is beyond your patience. And we think that because the moral climate has become so dark that God would somehow become less merciful. But the truth is that we are all of us. There is no one that is sitting here, not me, not you, that is not deserving of the judgment of God. We are all deserving. According to the perfect, holy standard of God, we are all deserving of this same execution that Jeremiah writes about. Verse 22 applies to all of us. Though through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. The word "we" actually was added by the translators, but it's not in the original text. The Hebrew is one word, consumed. But the context of the passage, this implies that Jeremiah actually, he included himself, the great prophet Jeremiah, he included himself when he said, we are not consumed. We have this little problem as Christians. We compartmentalize the mercy of God. We have two boxes for the mercy of God. We have the box that we're in, and then there's the box of others. And so what we might apply to others, or what we might apply to ourselves, we want God's mercy for ourselves, but when we look around the world, we don't necessarily desire that God have mercy on others. And so we put God in a box. God, you know, look at what they've done. And we think, I've never done anything like that. I'm not as deserving of the judgment of God as they are. But listen to what the psalmist wrote. The psalmist said, if you, Lord, should mark our iniquities, if you should count our sins, O Lord, who of us could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. And then later in that same psalm, the psalmist declares, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is what? Well, there's mercy. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him there is this abundance of redemption. And someone said, you know, what we need most is we need the mercy of God, and justice would ruin us. And so we look at this and we say, you know, praise God, because I'm included with this, you know, the mercies of the Lord. You know, we just thank God for those mercies, for without them we would be consumed. Now, there is a second statement that tells us something about God's compassionate nature. It tells us that it cannot fail. That is the constancy of God. Verse 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. If God were fallible, he could not be God. And so when we look at the nature of God, anything that we see pertaining to God, we know that it cannot fail. The holiness of God,
will never fail. The sovereignty of God, it will never fail. The love of God will never fail. The wisdom of God, it will never fail. And you could go on and on throughout all of the attributes of God, and you will recognize that God does not change and God will never fail. And so whatever the Word of God has to say about the nature of God, whatever it is perfect, it is infallible, it cannot fail. Now that is not true of you and I. We're far from it. We struggle with attributing the unfailing compassion to the nature of God, and that is because you and I, we struggle with it ourselves. You and I may experience patience for a while. We forgive once. We forgive twice. And if we forgive a third time, we think we've done really well. But we do run out of patience. As you know, I enjoy the study of human biology, and I've lately been studying about sleep. That's that little word that we get not enough of. But have you ever noticed that when you are lacking in sleep, you are less patient? Now, is that just me, or is there anyone else here that would raise your hand or say amen to that, that when you don't get enough sleep, you're less patient with others? Amen. You know when I notice it the most? When I'm driving. I mean, I can be driving down the freeway, and if I've gotten plenty of sleep and I'm feeling good and somebody cuts me off, I'm like, ah. I let it go, and I think, you know, I handled that pretty well. But if I'm on 3 or 4 hours of sleep and you do the same thing, boy, I'll tell you, I might lay it on. You know, I lay on the horn and I think, now, why did I do that? Well, you know, it's just our biological, it's our nature. And thankfully, there's the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those is patience. And I sometimes, if I haven't had enough sleep, I rely more on that fruit. But I'll tell you what, if I don't rely on it, you better be glad that I'm on a ranch about a mile, you know, behind closed gates, because I do not have patience. And I wonder, how does God do it? How does God do it? How is God, I mean, how does the Lord have this infinite patience with us? Because you know what the psalmist wrote? Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And I'm like, you know, God doesn't even doze off. Yet his compassion never fails. It's the constancy of the compassion of God. There is a third statement we see here. It tells us something about the abundance of God's mercy. And that is that every day there is just this wonderful, fresh supply. Look with me at verse 23. They, that's being the mercies of God, they are new every morning. What a revelation to the prophet Jeremiah. He's lamenting. He's expressing the total despair of Judah. But when God brings to the heart of Jeremiah this reality that he's, you know, everything that he is witnessing in the midst of all of God's judgments, Jeremiah sees the mercies of God. But then God takes Jeremiah even deeper. He reveals to Jeremiah that his mercies are continually being poured out. There is no limit to the mercies of God. They are infinite. God supplies his mercies. They are fresh. They are new every morning. Now you're going to ask the question, why every morning? Why is it in the morning? For that matter, someone might even ask, well, why do I need God's mercies every day? You know, I did really good yesterday. I didn't need God's mercy. Yes, I mean, can't I kind of keep some in credit? Can't I use yesterday's supply? Our problem is that we trivialize human behavior every day. We think that God looks upon our behavior the way we look upon our own behavior. But God does not see common behaviors the same way that you and I see them. James, writing to the church, he drives this home. James, writing in chapter 2, verse 8, he said, you know, he said, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors. If you show partiality, do you know what partiality means? If you show favor in one person over another, if you respect this person over that person, if you show more favor or respect to this person than you do another person, according to James, you have broken this royal law of love. And, you know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, we will look at the way someone dresses. We may look at how they drive. We may look at where they live. We may look at their education. And it's very common for us to show partiality. And it's just inborn, inbred within us. We show favor of one over another. And James writes, he said, you know, if you do that, he said, you've sinned. And you say, but oh, that's a little sin. And so then what we do is we take our sins that we consider to be little sins, and we compare them to the bigger sins, and we say, you know, that's just not so bad. But you know, the Holy Spirit seems to have anticipated that response from us. And so James went on to reply. He said in verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law, you've done it all. You've kept the entire law. You've done everything right, but yet you stumble in one point. He's guilty of what? All. You and I, we need a fresh supply of God's mercies every day. And I'll tell you what, there's probably not one day that goes by that we don't need them, that we don't use them. And Jeremiah is overwhelmed by the goodness of God, the mercies of God. They are new every morning. And then there is number four, and that is that God is faithful. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, they are new every morning, the mercies of God. Great is your faithfulness. That word faithfulness, the idea is fidelity. We think of fidelity as the faithfulness within a marriage relationship. Just as God is perfect in all of his ways, God is perfect in his faithfulness. It is not possible for God to be unfaithful. Jeremiah, he is overwhelmed by the faithfulness of God, that God was merciful to Judah, that the mercies kept flowing from God, and that they were new every morning. But there is something else, I believe, that is taking place in this proclamation concerning God's faithfulness. Think with me just for a moment what it would be like to be in the shoes of Jeremiah. You were walking down the streets of Jerusalem, and you look down and you see people, the corpses lying along the streets, not having yet been buried. You see the smoke that is arising. You look at the Temple of Solomon and it is completely destroyed. It has been dismantled. You look around you and what's left is the homeless. What's left is the poor. What's left is those who already had nothing to begin with. What's left is those who are now desperate and that they are starving and that they are willing to put to death their own children in order to feed themselves. And you look around and you see this. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, with all of our technology, news is instant. We see news all around the world, any time of the day. When there's a catastrophe, we see it immediately. But have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever turned on the news and seen such utter destruction and famine and poverty and that there's really just nothing left? This is beyond our imagination. And yet, in the midst of all this chaos, Jeremiah makes this incredible affirmation great is your faithfulness. I would think that Jeremiah would say something more like, you know, God, you failed us. God, you let us down. Our enemies have destroyed us. God, they have taken the best of your people into captivity. God, we are ruined. I do believe it is in our human DNA to be very present-minded. Have you noticed that when something going on in your life and it's really bad, it's just like you become absorbed with what's taking place in your life at that moment? We are present-minded. We look at our circumstances, and many times we look at God and we think of God in relation to what is going on right now. And we ask ourselves, how is it that Jeremiah could look at all the destruction and proclaim the faithfulness of God? There was something that made Jeremiah different, and I want to examine that this morning. And let's not see if that same difference that applied to Jeremiah does not apply to you and I as well. We all know about Daniel. You've read Daniel. Did you know that Daniel was alive and he was just a young man when Jerusalem was ransacked by the Babylonians? He was taken captive, and we all know of the story of Daniel, how he was taken to Babylon and he was given favor by Nebuchadnezzar while in captivity. But it's in Daniel chapter 9. Now he's an older man. Daniel writes, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through who? Jeremiah. I understand as I was reading Jeremiah that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You might say Daniel was reading the Bible that he had. Daniel understood that God had a timeline, and that the destruction of Israel was just one chapter in the history of the nation, of the people, of Judah. When Jeremiah made that amazing proclamation, great is thy faithfulness, I don't believe that he was focused on the present circumstances. I don't think that Jeremiah was looking around at all the destruction and saying, oh, you know, seeing the dead, seeing the destruction, oh, great is thy faithfulness. There was something more that was going on. Like Daniel, Jeremiah was able to see the present circumstances through the lens of God's word, which goes beyond the present. Judah's destruction, that was the consequence of their refusal to repent. Jeremiah had been warning them for decades, and Jeremiah was, you know, he had already written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the total destruction that he witnessed. But God's plan did not end with the destruction of Jerusalem. God had also revealed to Jeremiah the restoration of all that had been destroyed. Jerusalem would once again thrive. The temple would be rebuilt. Those in captivity would return. But it was a 70-year period of dispersion. And just as Daniel was looking back at the end of the 70 years, Jeremiah was looking forward at this time to the fulfillment of God's word. And here's where there is, I think, for us, the invaluable lesson. We've been talking about the constancy of God. We've been talking about the nature of God. He does not change. His promises, they can never fail. Jeremiah knew the word of God. Jeremiah believed in the infallible nature of God. And Jeremiah was looking forward. He was looking beyond the present circumstances. In fact, Jeremiah had already heard from the Lord about the future, and that is why we have some of the beautiful promises that we have in the Word of God. How about this one? How many of you go to this promise? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And so Jeremiah, he had already received that promise before the destruction of Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah is now looking forward to, you know, what God has done and the recognition that it was the concept. God had just simply done what God said he would do. But Jeremiah understood that that was not the end. And it is by this scripture that we understand that God will carry us through the present circumstances, that we will arrive on the other end of our circumstances victorious in the promises of God. And that is why we must know God's word. We must know and we must understand passages such as Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We need to know, and we need to trust, and we need to believe. Then we can turn to the Psalms, and we read this psalm that we all know so well, the 23rd Psalm. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And then we begin to see God as the good shepherd who never leaves us. And he is always there. We do not live in denial of circumstances. God does not call us to live in denial of reality. What God is calling you and I to do is to live with assurance that he is there and that he has a plan. And that's where Jeremiah was. When Jeremiah, and he's as great as thy faithfulness, he's just, "Oh God, you know, you are so faithful. You have already promised me that you know the plans that I have for you, a plan for a hope and for a future, and I can hold on to that." And Jeremiah did hold on to that, and he said, "Oh, Lord, I can look forward and I can say, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness." God is constant. He is constant in his mercies. They are new every morning. God is constant in his compassion. He will never fail to be compassionate in our weakness. God is constant in his faithfulness. And I'll tell you, together, I believe we can all proclaim and we can agree and we can say it together, "Great is your faithfulness. Great is the faithfulness of God." Father in heaven, we thank you that we have your word that we can go to and that we have your promises before us. Even in our very hand, we can go at any time and we can come into this word and see what you have promised to us. And we know your nature does not change with circumstances. And we trust you. And we are so thankful. Great is your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.